Hey guys, it's Joey and Ray, and I am super excited to be bringing you season 3 of A Human Connection. And just like all the other seasons, we're going to be bringing to you some of the most influential people in this industry, some people that I have followed and have mentored me along my 30 plus year career in this business. So hope you join along with us so we laugh and we learn along the way. Well, hey guys, this is Joey and Ray, and welcome to another edition of A Human Connection. We started this podcast during the COVID times, and it was a way for us to connect with people who I've had the privilege of meeting along the way, along the path of my 30 plus year career in this business. And I'm so excited for our next guest. She is probably, of all the people that I've met along my journey, probably one of the most kindest and most generous hearted people that I truly have ever met in this industry or any other. This is Kendall Spence, office manager and so many other things of Integrity Marketing Group. So welcome, Kendall.
Hi, Joanne. I'm back at you. My goodness, that was a lovely introduction.
Well, I speak the truth. So before we get to the good stuff, I always like for anybody who isn't familiar with your current position, let's talk a little bit about your background, how you got to Dallas, how you got to the top floor at Integrity Marketing Group, working side by side with Brian Adams. But tell me a little bit about how you got started in this career.
Oh, wow. So loaded question, but I'll tell you, it's I don't know how to explain it, Joy. We're just going to be honest.
So, love, good fortune, all those things. Karma. Well,
I think it's like a lot of people who kind of end up in insurance. They never really had an idea that they would be in insurance when they discovered it. And so as far as background, you know, I have a grew up in Ohio, Southern Ohio, lovely family there. And we talk every day. And then went to college in California. I'm not sure if you know this. I went to a seminary for my degree.
Oh my goodness. we're gonna dig into that.
I have my degree from seminary. That's where I met my husband. My husband is from British Columbia. And so we lived in California, went to school. And then when we graduated, we were, just looking for employment anywhere. We knew some people in the DFW area, and we said, I'm sorry, your utilities are how much? Your rent is how much? And there's jobs? So that's honestly the reason we got here. It's all about who you know, usually, in those big life events. And we didn't know, you know, just by making that choice to move to Dallas that we'd be where we are today. We didn't even know how permanent it would be. We just needed somewhere to go. So immediately after graduation, we got married, we moved here, and we just kind of started building our life together, away from any family or friends that we knew previously. And then I taught preschool for about a year and a half. So my degree is religious education with a focus in elementary education, which that a lot of dots connect. If you hear me like public speak and then say, oh yeah, she's totally an elementary teacher.
I can see
a ton of educators in my family. So it comes by kind of naturally. It's awesome. You know, when you start listing off all the educators in the family, it's really incredible. And so taught for a few years, and then my brother-in-law worked for Brian and Steven in one of the original offices in Highland Village. He was on the marketing team, and he has since moved on to a different company, but he was the one who told me about the opening for a receptionist at the Dallas office. And wow. So that was what I interviewed for, but at the same time, it was going to be a little bit of a dual action reception and assisting Brian with his calendar. It was not long after he and Robin had the twins, Asher. Asher and Titus. And so it wasn't long after that. And so when I came, there was just, you know, calendar support, answer the phones, make sure there's coffee every morning, you know, like stuff that's really easy to get right. And, you know, from there, just being able to take advantage of and hold on to every opportunity to grow myself professionally as well, you know, as well as integrity was growing. And it's kind of how we got here. I had a lovely mentor in college. She was the office manager to the college that I went to. And her name is Denise Wells. Talk to her still to this day. And she's still at the college as well. She was office manager at the college, and she, in a previous career, was an assistant to a general in the military. So she was an amazing mentor. I worked for her for 4 years. And so it was really the most like work intensive kind of real life internship.
Yeah, I bet.
And so she taught me everything that I knew. And being in that seminary and church environment, it's different than just corporate, you know, where if you're to start work in a corporate environment, because church is about community and caring for people. And so a lot of the things that we do well here at Integrity is service, you know, family, respect, our core values, family being, you know, one of the primary ones. And so I think a lot of that has translated very easily into what we do here at Integrity. So that's the Reader's Digest version. There's a lot.
There's a lot to unpack there. I'm so excited. So let's start with the seminary. What was it? Was it truly a calling? Was it something that you were kind of fell into, but why that path initially?
Good question. Whenever I was growing up in those like teenage formative years, I had another really great mentor. my parents and my grandparents, very faithful and very devoted people to our local church, which is where I still love to spend a lot of time. And so that meant anytime the doors were open, I was there. Yeah. Birth to, you know, when I moved out. And so my parents had a huge impact in me in that way. And then as I was coming up in through the youth group and things like that, one of my lovely mentors at the church was a woman named Linda Rushing. And she and I still talk. She was my pastor's wife during the time that we were there. And she gave me voice lessons and encouraged me in the church choir and things. And so I spent a lot of time with her, very much admire her still to this day. And so I just loved the Lord. I still do. And I wanted to serve him in a very big way. And so one way that I knew that I could do that better was going into the ministry or do that more directly.
Yeah,
not the only way, but
do it more directly.
Right. Exactly. So I knew that, you know, biblical studies and doing something within the ministry was what I wanted to do, which is then what led me on the path to, you know, go to seminary and in California of all places. And you know, it's all those, and I did some homework. I was listening to previous episodes, and a common theme at Human Connection is it's those tiny little threads that just bring it all together to where you are today, whether they're good threads or difficult threads, you know, it makes you who you are at this current time. So I was thinking back and preparing for this. I was like, you know, if I were to put it into a podcast, what are the big things that I could say where I am today? And it's not one big thing. It's accumulation of tiny things that you don't realize at the time. Like, was I so bound and determined to leave my Mid-Ohio Valley community, my little small town, something big and scary, like fly out to LA and try to go to college near there? I have no idea. And I don't know.
Not great. And that's where you met your husband. And that's where everything, you know, your lives together started.
Yeah.
So just think about, you know, because I didn't have that big of a move, but definitely left the nest and went off to college not knowing anybody. All my classmates were going to a certain university. I went the exact opposite. I don't know why. But I met my husband there, too. And that's... You know, it started us, like you said, that thread of sometimes we shouldn't question maybe why we're led a certain direction or why, if you put it on paper, some of the stuff that you've gone through probably wouldn't make any sense, right? If you were to sit down and write your path out, there'd be some holes or some paths of like, wait a minute, this seems like it would make more sense to do this or go there. But we don't always know, you know, what that best path is for us. So we're kind of being led without even knowing it, I think, sometimes. And what a wonderful thread, like you said, of joining not just the seminary, but with the education background too, that describes you like to a T, you know, the warmheartedness, the kindness, the teaching, you know, and my daughter, same degree, she has an elementary education degree and work and runs a preschool here in town too. And you see the, like so many little things along her path. I'm like, oh, makes sense now.
Yeah.
It fits, right?
It does. Yeah. When did you meet your husband?
So funny story there. So I had the same boyfriend all through high school, and we broke up very amicably, but just he went to a different university. He went north, I went south, and just decided, you know, let's break this off for now, and then we'll see where we're at a year from now or whatever. So anyway, that was like the spring of my senior year, we decided to do that. So I'm thinking I'm going to go to college and I'm just going to have so much fun and I'm not going to get tied down. The very first real college party I go to, Kendall, that's where I meet him. It was in October, so we hadn't even been there a month hardly when I met him. So we laugh about that now, that so much for, you know, not getting tied down or whatever. So yeah, I met him first month, first semester of freshman year, and definitely we just got back from a fun vacation with my husband and I, and then our two best friends, who I've known since I was in sixth grade, I think we met.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Still best friends to this day. We live 6.5 hours apart, but we try to get together at least a couple times a year. But what's funny is our husbands over the years have become best buddies too. So
that's nice.
Yeah, but we were just talking about how the, you know, 34 years of marriage and just the fun that we've had together, the bumps. Oh my gosh, have there been bumps with they raised three kids, or they raised four, we raised three. You know, just a lot of things along the road. But man, when you have somebody to look back that path with, it's just so much fun, right? It kind of puts everything into perspective. So you've used the word mentor, I think, 3 to 4 different times now, which is a huge, important piece of you, right? That's all those people you followed, and they may not have even known they were mentoring you. You know, I think sometimes the good ones really don't. It's not like a class you signed up for and they said, hey, how about you follow me, do what I do, and I'll mentor you along the way. I think sometimes you just are blessed. Oh my goodness, so blessed with kind of finding some of those people along your path. Yeah. But walk us through a little bit about any of those that you chose along your path as your mentors, and what was it that stuck out about them? Why did you feel like that was a choice that you made for them to be your mentor? Do they know that to this day? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, so I know I feel like I have made a good effort to go back to them and say, hey, because you did this in me, now I've been able to do this to help, as a way of being grateful and showing them gratitude for the time and effort that they did put in. I'll give two examples. The official title, office manager, was something that is more recent. I've kind of been doing those types of things, but we really defined the role and made that official earlier this year. And so when that happened, I just took a moment to reflect and then went back and kind of wrote a nice letter to Denise, just to let her know, like, hey, you were someone I admired and you devoted a lot of time and effort in training me. And now look at what I was able to accomplish here, you know, in Dallas, just not as a way to be boastful or anything, but just to let her know how grateful I was that the work that she had done in me is really been a blessing to my family and to me. And she wrote back and was very generous. And, you know, we both had a nice little moment there. But and she was very, very organized. She, you know, ran an entire campus, and it wasn't a large, you know, state university or anything, but there were still, you know, 1,000 college age kids that she was wrangling.
A lot of and moving parts.
Yeah, exactly. Tons of moving parts. And so my, what she needed me was, funnily enough, was like coordinating all the guest speakers that the college would have. And we had chapel every day. And so I know you've been on the receiving end of this. So creating an itinerary and booking hotels and dinner reservations. And that was something I've been doing, you know, for years and years and years before Integrity. And it was just able, I've galvanized that process now.
Yes, you have. We're working on one right now together.
Exactly. That's going to be so exciting too. I'm really.
Oh, I know. Really, yeah. They're very excited. Yeah. But I think some of that is, we use the word experience around here a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they say customer service, blah, 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 blah. We like to use customer experience, because customer service to me is something you're taught on what you should do. Mm-hmm. Customer experience, it's literally how your customer is truly experiencing or receiving everything. So you may have good intentions with your service or with your message or whatever. Mm-hmm. If it's not being received that way by the customer, it really doesn't matter. Right. So we use that a lot. And I always, since I've been coming to Dallas for 3.5 years now with Integrity, I always use your building as an example, from setting up the plans ahead of time to the greetings that you get by the doorman, who has no, he doesn't know who I am versus anybody, doesn't, and it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
I think it was Tom Ziegler, when you guys brought the Ziegler Corporation in, I think it was Tom that said, I've been coming to this Integrity office now, I think he said like 14 times or something. He said, I haven't opened a door once. You know, and it's those little things. And I know so much of that is your touch. I know it's how Brian lives his life of wanting anybody that's coming in, whether you're a future, a current, a potential, or the UPS driver, it really doesn't matter. When you walk into that building, from the very first thing you see and first person you talk to, should be greeted and felt like this is an experience. And we do. I mean, it works. I don't know how many meetings you guys have to have or what the coordination is like, but you make it come off so easy to the girls at the front desk, who I just adore. Just adore them. And then every single person, we just had the HR team here in our office rolling out the new benefits. And it was awesome. We said the same thing that they were very kind to say about our team, as far as, you know, just how lovely and receptive everybody was. But it's always that way when we come to Integrity. I just don't know how you guys do that. And I know so much of that is carried on your back and your shoulders, but do you just find the right people and it's easy? Or is it truly a work, like a labor of love?
So again, you're a wonderful interviewer. These are great questions.
Thank you. Let's just ask how to think.
I'll say this. The vision absolutely comes from Brian Adams and how he wants people to feel and experience Integrity. And it's a privilege to be able to carry out that process and privilege and make sure that we make that come to life. So I'll start with that. And then everything that happens underneath that vision is just process and documentation.
Yeah.
So once you get the process down and it's been documented and communicated to everybody, then there's no room for questioning. There's no, you know, room for uncertainty. And that's one of the things that I really try to do with the hospitality team here in Dallas. I want to set them up for success. And those like, terms that I'm using now come from some mentors that you and I both know and love. Rochelle McReynolds and Owen Wood have helped me tremendously. As we've, you know, been working together now for several years. So I can't you know, go forward without mentioning them and their impact as well. But I think I want to set my team up for success.
Right.
And it's unfair of me to have an unspoken expectation, because that's the root of all disappointment, is unspoken, unmet expectations.
That's good. That's good. I'm writing that down.
That's a takeaway from marriage counseling. I won't say that that's anything professional.
In fact, I've heard Brian say that before too, in some setting of whether it's marriage, partnership, business, whatever, two relationships you want to talk about. It is the expectations, right? That word just keeps coming back. And I think it gets people in trouble of parenting too.
Yeah.
I expect certain things, or I expect my kids to know certain things or behave certain way. But if we really haven't had a conversation, or I haven't really expressed that, how could I feel like I could get mad at them for not delivering when they didn't even know? So anyway, that word is huge. And I love that phrase. Say that phrase again, because I do want to write that down. The management of expectations.
I believe I said.
You can never say it again.
Recording. Now, the root of disappointment is unmet and unspoken expectations.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So with that thought in mind, we process and we document as much as possible and then communicate it out. So I'll give a couple different examples, because there's different styles. I won't say levels, but different styles of hosting that we do. I'll go like macro and micro. Big one is like, we've got 150 people coming in for 3 days for Leadership Academy. Now, the people on culture team and Tom Ziegler and the marketing events team, that's one whole process that is glorious to observe on their end.
Then imagine being on the receiving end of that. Yeah. I cannot imagine the planning that went into that, because it was so smooth. When you literally so just felt like this is the 800th time they've done this, right?
Right.
It wasn't.
And then the hospitality part of it came for the welcome dinner that we had at Shared Services. And so that was orchestrated, and we met as a team, thought through every detail, and then we created a playbook for that had timelines, had roles and responsibilities detailed out. We had floor plans with diagrams, and here's where the 6-foot tables go, and here's where the rental bar is going to be, like, all and that's just to improve the process, so that no matter who receives the vendor that's dropping off the rental glasses or plates, they know where those need to go and need to be placed, you know? And then we have our everyday type hosting, where we've got a managing partner bringing in, a guest to, you know, because the guest lives here in Dallas, and so they want to come to Dallas, host them at the Shared Services office. We the template is called like Welcome to Integrity Experience. And so there's just, you know, 4 or 5 major things that happen with every welcome experience. And then we assign a hospitality team member to that. Those things are accomplished based on our timeline. And I will tell you is, you know, you asked how many meetings. We have a weekly meeting, and which isn't a lot, you know, based on how much volume we get here in the Dallas office. We have a shared Outlook calendar. And I call that our Bible. That's our source of truth. That is our, if it's not on the Outlook calendar, it never happened, which is like one of my green rules. And having so much documented there in one place, because we can all access that on our laptops or on our mobile device on the go. We can see everything. We get immediate updates. If it, you know, this meeting got bumped up an hour, heads up, everybody. We text with them amongst the team constantly. Communication is really key. I always say you can't over communicate with updates or anything like that. So whenever someone joins my team, and we can talk about recruiting and things like that as well. But whenever someone joins the team, I say, you've got to know these 3 things about me. Always carry something to write with. And whether that's taking a note on a mobile phone or carrying around a notebook and pen, just write it down. Because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. Please don't ever hand me a Post-it because I will lose it. I don't keep any Post-its in my office. It's not my method of communication. Some people live and die by Post-its. So
people have it all around their monitor. Right. That would give me so much anxiety.
But it works for them. So I'm not going to criticize that. But please don't give me one of your Post-its. And then the third is what I just mentioned. If it's not on the Outlook calendar, it never happened. So
it's never going to happen. I love that. So yes, let's talk about recruiting. You don't have to give away any secrets, but where have you found the best? Like, were they from the service industry, or were they referrals from within, or random people off the street, and kind of, or is it a mix of things? But where have you found your best people for you as far as carrying out that message of those very, very, very high expectations? What's your recruiting process been like?
Well, we had a really quick kind of hiring process when we really launched hospitality into like a full scale program.
Yeah.
And so we got a lot of people quickly. And I'll tell you, we had everyone from any background, because I think hospitality is just being a kind person at the heart of you. And we use a lot of terminology that we learned from Disney, right? We want to create the magic. Yep. We want to help everyone have like a really extraordinary experience. And so making people's day, like we want to be day makers. We want, if someone's like running in from the airport, their Uber got lost or whatever, like they're just having a not good time getting here, and then they get to the meeting, they're supposed to present, but they forgot their computer charger. We keep 3 to 4 computer chargers, different types, at the reception desk at all times.
Been there. I've been the recipient of that, so thank you.
It's those little things. The devil's in the details when it comes to being able to create that magic and that experience that we want you to have at Integrity. So if we can at all save your day by, you know, having a Tylenol available for you, or knowing where to get you a tissue or a computer charger, like any of those little things that aren't involved in any way in the insurance industry, because it's just about that experience. And so you want to kind of have that superhero utility belt available to you.
Love that. One thing that your team, hospitality, Ziegler, I don't even know which team it was, but I'm sure it was a combination of you guys and just the way you've built those people up. But we had two that we were sending in for the Ziegler leadership, and there's a flight right out here of Columbia straight to Dallas.
Yep.
But it either leaves at 5:30 in the morning or like 1:30 in the afternoon or something. And that 1:30 was going to get them there too late. So they came in on the 5:30, which we get in Dallas at like 7:15. So, and I didn't ask, and I know they didn't because they were overwhelmed, but somebody knew that when they saw their travel schedule and made arrangements for the hotel to have all three of their rooms ready at 7 a.m. And I know that's not a, because I've tried to check into the Fairmont early and it's not always possible. I know somebody made that possible. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge sign. That was probably, they texted so many things from that trip, but that was the very first experience they had is, oh my gosh, they've already made sure that we had a room available when I got here, because we don't start for another 4 hours. Most companies, most trips that you go on, one, they don't care when we're getting there. They just want to know that we're getting there. So making those extra steps of understanding, because I've been on the other end of it too. I've been a guest, whether it's a carrier or another, you know, business that you're going to visit, and they knew we were coming. The meeting was set up, but I felt walking in and then walking away, it really didn't matter that I was there. You know, we've all had that, you know, a dentist appointment or you're trying to recruit a new partner or something. It really doesn't matter. It's that feeling that you walk in. It's like somebody gives a you know what, that I'm coming, that I'm here.
Yeah.
Even putting my name somewhere. Like that just, I don't know why that is, but humans love to see their own name on the wall or on the board or on a sticky note or wherever. No post-it. I will not get one to Kindle. So whatever you guys are doing is absolutely amazing. And it is felt from the top of the food chain to person that's walking in, like I said, just to deliver a package or something. Yeah. It feels different. You feel the magic for sure.
Yes. And I know that experience for your team members would have been crafted by our lovely events team.
There you go. I knew somebody, and I sent a big thank you. I don't remember to who, but, yeah. And they were like, well, of course we did. Like, that wasn't even an extra. It was just, well, of course we did. They got here at 7 and the meeting didn't start until 1. We're not just going to leave them sitting in the hallway.
You know,
it was just so whatever you've done is you've continued to ingrain that servant leadership. We talk a lot about here as well is what I subscribe to is it is an honor to have somebody drive or fly or walk or whatever to come to our building and do business with us. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't it amazing, Kendall, that kind of the post-COVID stuff that we all talk about and we all see kind of the downfall of some of the customer service or even caring or even businesses being able to take care of their customer. But it just still amazes me to this day that you get in your car, you drive across town, you go to a store, you ask a salesperson something and they send you to their website. I'm like, I could have done that at home. I drove here. Is there any kind of thing that you can maybe think to do that I will give you my money and you give me a product or you give me a service or you help me, like walk me to your computer and we'll order it together.
Mm-hmm.
But people, and COVID gets a lot of blame or the lockdown and people not wanting to come back to their service industry jobs gets a lot of blame. But I think it's so out of the ordinary that when it happens, it's even more extraordinary than even you thought or planned it would be, right? Because you just don't see that hardly anywhere anymore.
It's how you're hoping to be received. Because you're coming and you need help. And when someone is able to provide that to you, it's just such a weight off, you know? Yeah. And I think it's really interesting what you said about, you know, you're going for a trip and there was no one there to receive you or the room wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. Like, that goes back to our core value of respect.
Yeah.
I respect you just as a person. And so I want to make sure that someone's been thoughtful about your arrangements, just like our events team did. And like, you know, we're going to open a door for you. That is a very small gesture of kindness. So look how far it goes,
right,
you know?
Right. Tom Ziegler noticed and even wanted to make a thing about that. And he could very easily just walk on past that doorman and not even think about it, right?
Yeah.
But his business is...
Yeah.
You know, very similar. It's all about the respect and care that you give whomever, your employee, your partner, your stranger walking into your office, whatever.
Yeah.
So for
and I try to tell my team that I don't care who you are walking into our door, whether it's FedEx, Amazon, it's Joanne Ray, it's Brian Adams, everyone gets the same level of respect and treatment because that Amazon person is, guess what, bringing a really important item that I needed today. So of course we're going to offer him or her a water bottle because they've been hoofing it, right? On their feet all day, probably trying to get this one package that I really needed. So I'm not, how would I ever be disrespectful or rude to you or ungrateful for them trying to perform their job?
Always think too, that might be our next superstar. Like one, just out of kindness, it's good to be, you know, human nature, you want to be kind to anybody that walks through your doors, but you don't know who that person knows. That may be our next employee. They may be dissatisfied and want to move and they love our atmosphere. So that may be our next superstar. That may be the son or the daughter of, you know, our number one client. Or it just isn't, that's not why you do it, but there's always a, and then outside of just simply being kind because that's what we should be. There is always that next thing of, wow, I wonder what else that company could do for me. That, you know, you hope they're walking away thinking that, oh, wow, I would love to work in a place like this. My story you've heard, I'm sure, many times, but I started off when I was in high school even before high school, my mom was a business teacher, a high school business teacher. So she would place her students the summer of their junior year in different businesses around the community. And then she'd come back in over the summer and check out on them. And so as a little kid, I'd always go with her. And even then, and I didn't know, there was no word, there was no culture, there was no catchphrase. I was just going with my mom to check in on students. But you felt differently walking into some businesses. Some businesses we would walk in and she's very well known in the community and nobody would even look up. And some businesses you'd walk in and it would be, you know, oh, Mrs. Williams, we're so happy you're here. Well, come this way. Can I get you a cup of coffee? It's always the littlest things, but you're right. It's that being received. I love that phrase. It's people understanding and caring.
Yeah.
We have a big, long slogan about all the things that we do different here. We think we're pretty special as well. And the ending statement is we care. Like,
yeah.
You could summarize all of these other words and shrink it down to we care. And I think that's, again, why us and integrity is such a perfect marriage, because it's from literally the top, Mr. Brian Adams, there is nobody that cares more about anybody or anything going on in his company. I've never met somebody like him that is so good with names and remembering stories and remembering the, I mean, it's incredible. And I know that some of that, I'm sure, is just his own brain, but some of that has probably helped with you guys as we continue to scale. You know, it's impossible to remember everybody's name, but those things, they do not go unnoticed.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Kendall outside of integrity. The mom, the wife, the sister, the daughter. Tell me about your two little ones and give us an update on how they're doing.
Well, I'll start with my husband because could not be standing here today without him.
Amen.
My husband is so amazing. He is one of the most humble guys that you'll ever meet, but he is loving and responsible. He's the best dad. I'm speechless, right, when it comes to how to describe him, because he's my guy, right? He's my husband. Oh, yes, definitely. I have the utmost respect for him. You know, he's his family. I have a large family unit, cousins, uncles, aunts, and his is not as large and smaller, and he's lost several, you know, key family members within the last, you know, 7 years, his mom and his sister. And so through all that, though, he's just loving and faithful, and he loves the Lord, very devoted in raising our children up, you know, how we want to with our family values. And so I just love and respect the heck out of him.
The word balance, you know, work-life balance gets thrown around a lot. And it's almost derogatory to even ask a working parent, mom or dad, you know, how do you balance? Or we're all just figuring out as we go, right? I've never met anybody that had a magical secret. But I think it's the phrase that I heard that's probably the most applicable to me in my story, and everybody's got their own story, is every day is a different balance, right? Some days it's going to be the balance is work's going to take over. It's going to take precedence. And I need to be here, like today, I need to be here talking to you. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, I get to go pick up my little 5-year-old granddaughter and take her to horseback riding every Tuesday at 4. And if there's anything that pops up on my Outlook for Tuesdays at 4, it's probably going to get pushed aside unless it's Brian Adams and he needs me to be somewhere. But other than that, and I would probably still tell Brian Adams, I got horse riding lessons to go to. But I'm blessed in my stage in my career where I can do that. Yeah. You've got little ones at home and still just trying to balance it all. But is there any magical secret, or is it just simply having your village, husbands, neighbors, friends?
Yeah, I would say it's only possible due to my husband.
Yeah,
I've told him before too. He knows this, so and it's We have two kids now. A lot changed in 2020, but that's when we increased our family from 3 to 4, plus the dog. She counts.
That's a big plus.
And his work, he works for the company, and he's a supervisor on his team, and so he's responsible for major things and major people. And so whenever 2020 went, his team went remotely, and they actually have not gone back to the office, which has been a huge blessing to our family, because I live, you know, a little north, and there's a commute involved. And if it weren't for him having the job that he has and being as amazing as he is, I don't think it would work at all. I was about to say as well, it probably wouldn't work at all, because he can do after school pickup and daycare pickup. We split the drop-offs in the morning. But whenever, you know, I leave here and I get home, he's already had dinner made, and the kids are at the table usually when I walk in the door. Like, he's fabulous. Aww. And I'll give you like a little example, because I'll just focus, you know, a lot of work. I'm focusing on the kids and, you know, paying attention to our relationship, but not, I don't pay enough, a lot attention to me usually.
I always say my husband kind of gets what's left at the end of the day. Like,
I know, I'm trying to get better
work with kids. It's balance. And then it's, oh, hi.
Yep. Yep. He did a little thing where, like, he noticed this. I didn't voice it at all, but he just happened to notice I was running low on toothpaste. And then every morning when I would like go to, every time I went to brush my teeth, I'd be like, gosh, I got to remember to get more of that at the grocery store. And then, like, just wouldn't mention it. It just always one of those little naggy things hanging over you in the back of your head. And one morning I went in there and there was a new tube of toothpaste in the drawer. And I said, if it weren't for you, I'd probably be feral at this point. You've got toothpaste.
Just running around aimlessly.
I'm completely unkempt, but I've responded to every email. Right? Like one of those things. So he keeps me sane, keeps me grounded.
Oh, how lucky is that, right? And I hope I never take that rock of my life for granted. And I know it does days or hours that go by that. Because my husband would do the same thing. There's just things magically appear, and he's so thoughtful in that way. And I probably don't thank him big enough. You know, probably, oh, thanks for the toothpaste. I needed that. And went on about my day, you know, because your brain's just going from the time your feet hit the floor. So I hope I never do. And I hope I'm going to now be much more consciously aware of those little things. Because just like, walking into Integrity, the home office, in your marriage, it's always the little things too, right? It's never finance. Well, I shouldn't say never, but it's usually not the big things that you think about that are going to drive a little bit of a wedge or make you have a bad day on your way into work. It's always the little things. So if we don't appreciate the little things as they come, then they have a tendency to kind of build and build and fester and fester. And very, very sweet. I love that gesture.
And it goes both ways, right? So this morning my husband woke up and the weather, as you can see, is kind of nasty outside, and everybody's got a little upper respiratory something or others. Yep. He woke up this morning and I just heard him coughing a lot. And so without being asked or, you know, just trying to be thoughtful, I made him a cup of tea, like peppermint tea, so he could have that when he was doing school drop off. And hopefully that would help his throat a little bit. But being sympathetic to illness specifically, I will tell you, is an area where I have had to grow personally, because we just weren't sympathetic to illness in my household when I was growing up. And I had, you know, just like a lot of, like I said, educators who they go to school, rain or shine, because they've got to be in the classroom, and a lot of farming and in a rural area, you've got to.
Yep, that's my background too. I had teachers and farmers all the way back on both sides. Yeah, there's no sick days. No sick days.
No. And my parents both worked, which was a really awesome example for me to see growing up. And my grandparents on my mother's side watched us quite a bit before and after school, which I loved. Love, that's like a whole other podcast in itself. I loved growing up with my grandparents.
Well, let's do that. Get into the grandparents.
Yeah. And then, but my grandmother, like all grandmothers, had a healthy dose of wisdom and then just flat out lying to you to get you to do stuff.
There's a nice mix, I'm sure.
It's a fine balance. My grandmother met it really well, but she would say, we lived several miles from the school, and she would say, and I don't know why, but if you don't go to school, your parents are going to jail. So we would go. I love, my grandmother's a very loving person, but that was just, I guess, her way of saying,
and we're not ready. We talk about no sick days when you grew up in teaching and farming. Yeah. I grew up the exact same way. And also there were no snow days. Like when I was growing up, it's a rural community. So you get to school somehow. They don't cancel school because of snow. So when I started here, like canceling work because of snow, like what do you, like, I don't understand what you mean. We knew it was going to snow today. You have a vehicle. Why wouldn't you? So I kept hearing my dad's voice come through of like, what do you mean you can't drive in the snow? Then you should have a different vehicle. See, now our snow days.
So there, I grew up with that mentality. Like, you know, whatever's happening, you tough it out and you get there. My husband's family growing up, and this goes back to like those things you learn in marriage counseling. He was homeschooled. His father is a pastor, so his mom stayed at home and homeschooled the kids, and she did her ministry there. And so homeschool is a bit more of a a little more create your own schedule. And so if they weren't feeling well, it's, you know, everyone takes school off today, we'll make it up tomorrow. Like, you know, there was just a difference in mentality. And so I noticed early on that difference between my husband and I, but it lent to me being not very sympathetic when he said he didn't feel well, because I was saying, tough it up. But to him, that kind of came off as, you don't care for me. You don't love me. Yeah. Right. So I had to learn. So like little notch on my own tally score there this morning. If my husband ever listens to this, I made a cup of tea for you this morning without you asking. So I'm growing as a person.
Yay. Check that box. That's so true. So true. It's always the things that we don't ask for that mean the most, I think, right? Again, always related back to coming to integrity. If I would send you my list of demands, you know, that I need when I get there, like a rock star or something, and you met them, I would not feel any different than going anywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. Because you guys do so many things that nobody would even think to ask for. It's just the graciousness and the hospitality. Mm-hmm. Same again with marriage. You know, there's a lot of overlapping here with marriage, parenting, leadership, all of that. It can all be intertwined of those things that you do simply because you care. Nobody asked you. They may not even notice, right? If he just took his tea and went on about his day, that's okay. Yeah. You know, you didn't do it for oh my goodness, thank you, you're the best wife in the world. It'd be nice to hear that right now. Just kidding. But that's not why you did that. So the fact that you go out of your way to do just the little itty bitty things for your partner, your kids, your employees, your partners in business and in life, it's just, man, that's a huge lesson for all of us to be better at.
And like I said, I'm still growing as a person.
Well, aren't we all?
And I hope so. If we don't, it gets boring.
Yeah. No, not at all.
But my kids are great. I've got an 8-year-old girl and a 2, almost 3-year-old boy.
Oh my gosh, she's almost 3.
Almost 3. Yeah. Oh. So I know we have the Integrity Inspire podcast. There's so many things. I wish we had more. Like, I know we're not.
This is going to be part 2. I can tell already. We don't have enough time.
I'm just thinking back, like back to the mentors. And I don't want to derail the conversation anyway, but Linda Rushing, who was the other mentor that I mentioned, we did the Inspire podcast during COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This all ties together, I promise. Trust me. when we did the Integrity Idol competition.
Yeah.
And we were able to raise so much money for charity during a time when most people had cut off their charitable giving.
Yep.
I made sure to go to her because Linda Rushing, she was my pastor's wife, mentor, and my vocal coach. And big part of how we got from Inspire podcasts, thank you, Laura Kimball and Brian Adams, to Integrity Idol was we wanted to break the ice a little bit, and we started singing every day on the show.
Yeah.
It's a hoot. The only reason I love music so much is because she taught that in me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I could still to this day sing in a community choir and continue to foster I guess hobby now is what I would call it, but mm-hmm. skill. And so I made sure to write and tell her, like, because you invested time in me every Tuesday for vocal lessons, we were just able to give X amount of dollars to charitable foundations during this time. And so I made sure to thank her for that. But we were starting the Inspire podcast in, you know, early 2020, March or April. And that was just when I found out I was pregnant with my son. See, I told you it would tie back. What most people don't know is that when we would kick off those shows and we were working from home during the time, you know, I was singing and joking and laughing. And then as soon as like Brian Adams took over the show, I was laid out in my closet with morning sickness.
Oh my gosh, you faked it very well.
Sometimes that goes back to like my upbringing, I guess, right? Just
that's tough right. It out. Rain or shine, man, you're on. Literally, you're on.
But I'll never forget that, right? That was such a cool, very probably, hopefully, once in a lifetime opportunity that we had to be able to do something like that. But my son, you know, November of 2020 was born, which I've had the opportunity of having a regular time pregnancy and child, and then a COVID baby with everything was different. No, you know, doctor's appointments, baby, no baby showers. Like all of that was very odd. But, you know, stories to tell at a later date.
Right.
He's at the stage now where, and I'll probably have to text you on this some because I know your kids are growing, you're at the grandkids stage. With my 8-year-old, I'm in the everything is a counseling session with her and her like emotions and relationships at school.
Yeah.
Like this morning, she got a like emotional about something, her school uniform. Yeah. And she thought it wasn't right. And so I just like sat and hugged her because like nothing at all was wrong, but she just needed a long hug, right? For some reason, she's just growing up and she has to learn how to manage those emotions.
And she's never going to say, Mom, I think I just need a hug at 8 years old. I don't know what age they get to when they say that.
You know, it's funny because it ended with
you noticed that you knew.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very abnormal. She's usually pretty even keel, and I'm sure we'll have lots of ups and downs.
Yeah.
But it ended with we're sitting on the stairs, and I was like, see, when you tell me and let me know the things that are bothering with you, I can usually help.
Oh,
that's how we kind of ended that.
Oh, and so what's their brother sister dynamic?
Lovely. Which I'm like shocked by every day, truly, because I'm like 2 to 3 years apart from all my sisters. I only have two. Usually when I say that, it sounds like I've got a dozen of them, but I have two sisters. And with the 5-year spread between the two of them, I thought for sure it was going to be a little more difficult. But Darcy is lovely, and she loves her baby brother. And it is like you're the epitome of like that second-born boy child. Like he's just here for the party and he's not bothered by anything unless he's hungry, but we can fix that real easy. And so he's just happy-go-lucky. We're getting to that point now though where I have a video. He was sitting on a chair. I was like, you look cute, I'm gonna take a picture. And by the time it took me to get my camera open on my phone, he was standing on that chair and then jumped from that chair to the other piece of furniture really far away. I was like, didn't know you could do that today.
He didn't either. That's he just right. Bought it dry, probably.
So he already
you're living my life, because that's the exact age that my son and daughter were. Their personalities sound very similar. Older daughter, definitely much more in tune with her emotions all the way up and all the way down. And son is just here for the party. And he is the most, and he's 25 now. So they're 25 and 30 now. And those personalities are still pretty much in line. He's definitely the most, like, if you want to go on a trip with somebody, you want to take him. Because he's the most even-keeled, going to have fun no matter where you go.
Yeah.
He's going to eat no matter what's on whatever restaurant we go to. And our daughters are a little bit more, I don't say opinionated, but they're going to have a much more of a say in where we eat and what we eat and why we eat and what time we eat.
Got it. Yeah.
But it's funny. It's again, it goes back from, I swear, day one, that whole nature versus nurture. Oh my goodness. I mean, it's, they come out, I swear, 80% formed, like who they're going to be and how their little personalities are going to be. And to this day, I will tell you, they have that same kind of relationship too of big sisters. He's got two big sisters that protect and overlook. And he just, you know, just thinks they're the coolest. There was a time probably in the teenage where they probably annoyed the heck out of each other, but pretty cool today. So you've got a lot of fun ahead of you.
Hang in there.
That's right. Yeah. Well, literally, oh my goodness, we're going to be out of time, and I could literally do this all day. We do need to have a part two, because there's so many other things about the mentors that you followed. Now look at all the mentees, if that's a word, I don't even know, but look at all the people now that you're their mentor. Of so many people coming in through integrity, through your community, through your church, wherever, that are looking at you. And just those little drops of wisdom that are just everyday occurrences to you are so important to some people, because they don't get that everywhere. They don't learn those kinds of honorable qualities. You don't learn that everywhere. I don't know where you learn that. If you don't learn how, live it at home or your church or school or somewhere, you know, to have somebody like you. So I love that you're leading all these young, fresh-faced leaders at Integrity now, and that they have you as their mentor to look up to. But I really appreciate you. I appreciate all you do every day, but certainly appreciate you being on here today, too. I know everybody's going to really enjoy all your words of wisdom.
Ron, well, thank you. And I tell you what, I was shocked to be invited and
very, very
here. You're just such a lovely person. I was like, look back at the episodes, I was like, yep, Ann Wood, Ryan Kimball, Jeremy, that all makes sense. Totally get that. Hi, me.
Well, it's all the people that I've met along my journey that have had some kind of impact. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of impact, but and you definitely have on so many people. So keep being you and spreading all the joy that you do.
Thank you. I will do so.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate everybody joining in today. Have a great day.